From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. We are back, and we are here to talk today about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to know who we're going to be talking about. My name is Chris Clark. I'm the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. And thank you for all the new iTunes reviews we've been getting. We appreciate those as well.
Yeah, those go a long way to help with what we're trying to do this offseason and bringing you new content next year. Thanks for that. I'm Ryan Tracy, founder of Rogue Analytics and the host over at RGR Football on YouTube. We've got a new one up there that's going to tie in a little bit to what we're talking about today. So check that out. The link will be in the show notes. And, you know, the quarterback is the focus of any football team. But, man, this kid is getting attention for doing things right. And he's been on the field for four quarters. So I'm excited to what's been going on, what he's been showing this offseason.
Well, and the crazy thing to me is there are people that were coming out and calling him stupid when the original story broke. And we're not going to talk about just this, but I do think it is a big story to see that he turned down endorsements in the Kansas City area. And he did it for the right reasons.
Yeah, and I can see why people would say that was, you know, a misstep. Make your money while you can make your money. It is the NFL. An injury is a play away. But you're right. It's the right reason. It was a concerted effort. And from what I've read and been told, it was by design to not promote his profile before he was actually the starter, before he was making plays that earned him that credibility. And I think that's important for chemistry in the locker room, chemistry with your starting quarterback at the time, as well as the rest of your teammates.
Yeah, and, you know, Alex is enough of a pro. I don't think he would have been too upset about seeing his Pat's picture on a billboard somewhere. But at the same time, you're trying to learn as much as you possibly can from that guy. You don't want to take any chance that there's going to be any animosity. And Smith, from what we have heard, it handled it like a professional. I'm sure he wasn't exactly happy about it when Mahomes first got drafted, but you know, obviously it was a very good deal for Kansas City to move that direction, and Smith understood it. And from all accounts that we've heard, was truly the consummate professional and brought Pat along with him, as opposed to maybe something like what Brett Favre did with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. It seems like it was, while the same outline of a scenario, it was handled completely differently. And I think that's indicative of who Alex Smith is, as well as, and I do want to mention this, you're talking about a player whose agent has a longstanding relationship with this organization in Lee Steinberg, who provides obviously not only representation and contracts and everything else, but really guidance for a career. That's what your agent should be doing for you. And I think that's part of it that probably we shouldn't downplay too much.
No, absolutely not. And you're right. Lee Steinberg does have a great relationship with the Chiefs. And, you know, all in all, Pat couldn't have landed in a better position last year. And his agent that he landed with is probably the best agent he could have possibly had for the Chiefs organization. And obviously, you know, in a couple of years, we'll be talking a different story when they're trying to re-sign him to a contract. But, you know, so many things worked really well for this situation to be the way it is.
Yeah. And folks, if you want to hear from Lee Steinberg, we had him on the show before Mahomes was drafted. I want to say it's show 205 or something like that. You know, we're approaching our 500th show, which should probably come in training camp. So
I think
it's hard for me to keep them all straight.
I think yesterday we actually did show number 450, and we didn't even realize it.
You know, they blend together after a while, so yeah. We are getting there.
Let's go ahead and talk about the big story, because to me, when I read that, my first thought was, I don't know how lucky Kansas City got. I didn't have any clue how lucky Kansas City got with a kid like Pat Mahomes as their QB, because that's a fantastic situation to hear that he was willing to turn down endorsements in the Kansas City area. And I guarantee you he got offers.
Oh, yeah. And for him as a player, for his financial health, I think it's an investment in yourself in declining some of the small ones in order to make that progress with your team wait for your time. Because now I think the offers are going to be bigger. I think he's going to reap more benefits when he is the player that starts the face of this offense and soon the franchise at the end of the day. So good for him. But I think the whole scenario is just another piece of the puzzle that we're seeing from this young quarterback. And that includes what he's done this offseason as well in organizing, individual workouts with his receivers, meeting at high schools and showing that leadership and that buy-in to be the guy that's in town. And whenever you guys are in town, I'll be there and we can work. I think that's leadership that you don't see from rookies. And I still refer to him as rookie just because it's only one game, but you don't see that very often. I think that's a sign of maturity and also a sign of leadership that this is part of why they bought into him in the first place.
Well, and there are so many things that we can say he's doing well. And I agree with you completely on that. The real question when it comes down to it is how is it all going to shake out in the end? And we will find that out this season, or at least a good portion of it. But to have the maturity to understand that you don't need the money right now. And in a lot of ways, the bigger story for me here is you don't need the distraction. You don't need to be out there and getting a big head because you're the first round pick rookie QB of a team and you haven't done anything yet.
I completely agree. And learning the playbook, and I understand where people are going to say learning the playbook wasn't that important because you weren't going to play and because the offense is going to be significantly different.
You're one snap away.
Right, exactly. And even if you didn't get that snap and you didn't play week 17, even if none of that happened, having the basis of what Andy Reid's West Coast offense looks like under Alex Smith gives you that much more foundation for what you can use in your bag of tricks throughout your career playing for Andy Reid in your version of the West Coast offense.
Well, and more so than that, to me, being able to learn from Alex Smith, who's one of the best QBs before the snap, diagnosing different things. It's after the snap where I thought he struggled. That's huge. Getting that, especially when you come from a system that is so foreign to what Andy Reid's system is going to be in Kansas City and in the NFL.
Yeah, it's another aspect, like we talked yesterday with Eric Berry, of learning how to be a pro, how to work in this system in Kansas City, and that's invaluable.
Absolutely.
Well, and there's plenty to talk about on the field. Let's get to that in a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Now, when he's throwing, clearly we all remember the arm, but there's been a couple of things that have been very – yeah, the left one, right?
Exactly.
Which I won't be surprised if he throws a pass with his left hand. I'm just saying. but what stands out to you to this point? Because there's a few things that have gone on, and I would like to know your take on where he is right now or from what you've seen.
Well, it's really hard to judge. I mean, I can't see it. I mean, there's no real video that I can see. The question is he going to be able to – honestly, Matt Derrick and I talked about this and one of the things that is a bigger thing to me that I don't think we'll really see until we get to OTAs is he able to see the guys on the field that he was missing last season? He threw a pick. I think it was a Steven Nelson, whereas another situation where he didn't see the guy on the field, and he threw the interception. I'm not going to care about those too much because he's got to learn. And the only way you learn is by doing and by making mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I don't like him throwing interceptions. But at the same time, with a rookie QB or a young QB, you're going to expect that. And he has to learn somehow. And I think he will. It's all the things that he can do that we haven't ever been able – that we haven't ever seen another QB in a Chiefs uniform do that makes him such an exciting prospect.
Right. And from what we have seen or heard from people who have seen, he's still doing crossbody throws. That's going to be his game. They're not trying to ratchet that kind of thing out of him.
Well, and I don't know if you heard the episode or not, but Matt talked about a situation where they had a play call where Mahomes rolled out to the right and ended up throwing back across his body in a quarter on a corner pattern in the left corner of the end zone. And it wasn't a completed pass, but there's no way Kansas City does that with Alex Smith.
No. And it's going to take DBs in this league a while to understand that. There are going to be opportunities, particularly early in the season, because players are going to come off of their guys thinking he's rolling right. There's no way he's going to throw it over here. And there's going to be opportunities. I kind of expect that to happen a few times, especially in the first 6 or 8 weeks of the season, until everybody gets the film on him and understands that you can't break cover, period.
Yeah. And that's a fantastic position for Andy Reid to have in the back of his mind, knowing that, you know, I have the ability to do this because corners are going to break cover. And the play designs he's going to be able to pull out. And, you know, it's going to be a great situation for the offense.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we're not the only ones that agree. And this is something I talked about in the latest video on RGR. And it just feels to me like the way that this offseason is being handled with the lack of media access to most of the practices. I think they're just getting one practice, and I think it's just like a 30-minute session each week. That's it. They're keeping a lid, like you said, on the video that can be seen of what Mahomes is doing. They're keeping a lid on how much people talk about it. They are going a lot more secretive than they have in preseasons of the past. And that leads me back to what the perception is outside of Kansas City. And it's growing. And, you know, every little tidbit just seems to light the fire a little bit more. Matt Miller put out something about a contact he has within the Chiefs organization that talked about Mahomes in practice last year burning Peters repeatedly. And when you're doing that against one of the elite corners in this league, that can't help but stoke the fire. And he's not alone. Where do you think the hype is, and do you think the Chiefs are actively trying to contain it?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to know whether or not they're trying to contain it. I think that that's definitely a possibility. You don't want to put any more pressure on the kid than he's already going to have. But this kid is so much different than any player I've seen in the Chiefs uniform at that position. And I know I've said that again and again, but I say it mainly because his bloodline makes him a lot different. Mm-hmm. His dad was a major league pitcher. He saw what his dad did. His dad, and I'm not trying to take anything away from his dad, but pitchers are extremely important in baseball. But his dad's ability was not near as good as I think Pat's will be on the football field. And maybe I'm putting high expectations on him, but the things we've seen him do already and the things that we keep hearing about him, as long as he stays grounded and willing to work, which I don't think is going to be a problem for a Major League Baseball player's son, he's going to be an extremely good QB in the NFL. And I don't know if it's going to be top five in the next 2 years, but I think it'll be top five in the next three.
Good Lord, way to not put the pressure on the kid.
Here's the thing. I don't think – doesn't matter what I say and what I think. I see what he is going to be able to do, and I see the weapons around him. They have surrounded him with weapons that Alex Smith never could have dreamed of.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
And that's a good point. And I want to address that in a second, because there's an observation I want to make about that. But like you said – not trying to put pressure on the kid. Yes, he could probably handle it better than most, like you said, because of his pedigree. But when you hear guys who are pretty stoic and pretty reserved, that are even commentators on television like Lewis Riddick, when he starts talking about Pat Mahomes, I mean, he gets to sounding like a schoolgirl. Mm-hmm. It's that giddy. And I respect his particular opinion of the people that are on television, of all the talking heads. I do expect him to be back in the league as a general manager or something of a similar tenure soon. So that's why I kind of lean towards him in terms of taking his opinion on a little bit more as fact, as a factual look at it, rather than trying to play something for the television. But when that guy is saying that, you know, that he's reading from his contacts within the Chiefs organization and around the league. And that just adds to it.
Well, I hate to interrupt you, but it needs to be pointed out that Lewis Riddick has a lot of contacts in the Chiefs organization because he worked with Andy Reid very closely for several years.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that's probably – I should have explained that more. That's even more so why not only do I think he has a future back in the league, he's not going to be at ESPN forever, but specifically with his knowledge of the Chiefs and what they're looking for and Andy himself, his excitement over Mahomes is legit. And that, again, leads me to let's not let everybody see everything. Let's try to keep him, you know, and maybe it's not even trying to contain the hype or keep the pressure off him. Maybe it's purely tactical. Let's not give away what he's really capable of. I don't know. But either way, it just feels like right now at Arrowhead Drive, it's kind of, hey, let's keep this to ourselves. Let's close off as much as we can and everybody hush.
And if that's really their reasoning, I think it's a brilliant reason. I know fans are going to like it. I know the media doesn't like it. I know we don't technically like it because we feel like we're not getting a lot of information out of what he's able to do at practice and all of this and that. But in a lot of ways, that's a fantastic thought because you're closing it off to the media and there's going to be plenty of stuff at OT at training camp, which they can't close off. So preseason games.
Right, exactly. Let's take a second and I want to talk about one thing just as an aside really to what we've seen to this point. So while there hasn't been a whole lot of tape specifically about Mahomes, he's been involved in a couple of things that have come out. And one is that series of one-handed grabs that Sammy Watkins made in OTAs. And you pointed it out before that Mahomes has more targets, more weapons than Alex Smith ever had. Having Tyreek on one side and Watkins on the other is a nice thing. One thing that stood out to me, and well, two things, observation-wise, some of those of the one-handed catches in particular came on a low crosser that I thought is something that they can do really effectively with Watkins. I want to see the slant come back into this offense. I think he's a guy who can run the slant really well. But also, one-handed grabs means that the ball wasn't placed exactly where it needs to be. So I just want everybody to take a grain of salt. That's an elite wide receiver, physically anyway, elite physically. Making a play for his quarterback because the quarterback wasn't exactly on target. And you're going to see some of that. Like you said, with the interceptions, there's things that sometimes Mahomes doesn't see. Well, there's times where his cannon overpowers what he needs to be doing. And so that's something to watch too as we progress through training camp is how does his accuracy come back into especially the intermediate, the lower level throws.
Well, and I'm okay with that. Because I do think he's
okay.
Well, no, where I'm going with that thought is I'm okay with him not being on target right now. I think it's, and I know this isn't where you're going, but I'm going to say it this way, and I mean no offense to you, but I think it's foolish if people think that all of his throws should be on target right now. There's no way he has the chemistry or the amount of time with these wide receivers that he needs to have to be able to have that kind of pinpoint accuracy.
That's fair. It's a work in progress.
Right. And all I was saying, all I meant by it is that to me, it's okay at this point because this is the time to be working on that. This is the time to be working on that chemistry, on the time to figure out, okay, this is his type of body control and he will be here and this is where I should be putting the ball. All those things are, this is the exact time to be working on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I wanted to point it out because we need to see progression, especially when it comes to camp.
I think we will see progression, but I also do think that he's going to put the ball out there in places where he's going to give his receiver an opportunity to make a play that necessarily doesn't look like the ball was placed where it should have been. But he did it because he thinks it's, maybe the best place for the ball, and he thinks his guy can make a play. I do think you'll see those throws.
We're going to see that pretty often.
You're pretty sure it's going to be a regular occurrence. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because like you said, he has faith not only in his arm but in his teammates, and I think that's great.
And, you know, with Watkins making the type of plays he was in camp or in OTAs, that's a great thing for them to work on, because it just opens up what this offense is going to be capable of and how they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So.
And I think he rounds out that core nicely. It was nice to see Chris Conley back catching some passes, so that's a plus as well.
I knew you'd be excited about that.
Yeah, well. You knew it was coming. Anyway, that's it for the Mahomes discussion today, folks. We're going to have more for you tomorrow, and we're going to talk about Pat, you know, on and off. He is the quarterback of your Kansas City Chiefs, so we're going to monitor him closely and give us some feedback. Let us know what you think of how he's doing. Leave us on Twitter. Leave us anything you like on the RGR line. Hit that video. Leave us the iTunes reviews. Get back with us. Oh, and we haven't had much traffic on the voicemail line lately. If you want to get heard on the show, leave us a voicemail at 913-777-4457, and we'll take that clip and answer your question. We'll get you on the show, but we like that interaction as well. So thanks for listening today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.